Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. This is the final part to starting your own business with certified Score mentor, Neil Abitabolo. Here is a recap of what Neil has covered in parts 1 and 2. The reasons why a person may go into business for themselves, how the potential business owner may decide what business is right for them, questions to ask before starting your own business, how to research and evaluate the business idea and time frame it may take, how the potential business owner goes about actually getting the business opened and how to accomplish those tasks, why a business plan is important and the benefits that plan offers, the 8 sections of a business plan and what goes into each section, ways other than starting a new business to own a business and their advantages and disadvantages, and finally, contingencies a business may face and how to protect against them. If you missed parts 1 and 2, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. Before we begin part 3, let me again give you some information about Neil Abitabolo. Neil is a former businessman and a certified SCORE mentor. He has experience in C-level operating and financial corporate positions and in consulting activities for small through medium-sized entities in a variety of industries in both established and startup situations. Neil has participated as an entrepreneur with an equity stake in a manufacturing business. He has served as an officer, board director, and corporate turnaround expert. Neil has over 4 decades of experience in driving business transformation, restructuring financial operations, managing companies through bankruptcy reorganizations, and negotiating refinancing and equity placements. He is adept at developing customized models to drive growth and reduce costs for industrial manufacturing, logistics, and business service companies. Neil's expertise includes strategic planning, risk assessment and mitigation, private equity, mergers and acquisitions, divestitures, startups, public markets, and operations improvement. Now, here is part 3 of Starting Your Own Business with my guest, Neil Abitabolo. Every new business needs financing in order to begin. We've talked about that early on, too, when you were talking about the starting of a business. There are many ways of obtaining financing. So can you give the listeners the various sources a new business owner can potentially tap to finance their startup?
Yes, and this is a long list, so we'll try to go through this quickly. The individual has resources on their own. For example, they may have the availability to borrow some money on their credit cards. Maybe they borrow against a life insurance policy or they're saving retirement funds. I mean, that's generally not recommended. If you could borrow against your 401k, I suppose, but ideally that money should be left to cover your retirement when that happens. You can sell assets that you have that you don't need. Or you could go perhaps to family and friends. You know, maybe you have a brother-in-law who might be willing to participate in the business and help you, or you may have some friends that are willing to put up some money. And that I would categorize all of those under the individual term. Then, of course, there are banks. Banks can provide a home equity loan. That's also kind of a personal thing, but if you've got equity available in your house, that may be something to provide collateral and provide a loan that you could use to fund your business. Banks issue loans under a guarantee from the Small Business Administration. The SBA does not issue the loan. Sometimes a misconception that people have, but they do guarantee the loan. So you may have the ability to get some money, perhaps if you have a higher risk, and perhaps even a little bit lower interest rate because it is guaranteed by the government. There are things called microloans. These are small, quick turnaround loans for relatively low amounts of money that the bank, the lender expects would be repaid pretty quickly. They may have higher interest rates because they may have a little bit higher risk for the bank. Business loan, that's going to be based more on the cash of the business. So if you have $1,000 a month that you can use to pay back a loan, principal and interest, you're able to get a loan from a bank. Often in a small business situation, the bank will ask for the owner to personally guarantee that loan, which means if your business can't make the payments, the bank has the potential, the ability to come after you as an individual for those payments. Banks don't like to do that, but nonetheless, they often ask for that. Next major category is non-bank, and that's finance companies. angel investors, there are people, groups of people who have funds that they want to invest, and they do so in relatively small amounts into startup businesses. Sometimes, of course, the business can support that investment, but oftentimes it's on the basis of the kind of business that the angel investor is attracted to, or perhaps could help the angel investor with other investments that they have. That money's not that easy to get to, but it's potentially available. Venture capitalists, you know, these are companies that invest those funds on behalf of their investors, and they're really looking for return. Not necessarily high interest, but there's usually interest and maybe some fees involved, where the combination of those two generates a reasonable return back to the investors in that venture group or venture fund. When you're in, you have the ability to use some assets to borrow against. Accounts refinancing is a common application of that area. There are also some grants. Generally, these are by state. They're defined to a particular type of owner or category of owner and a particular kind of activity. So in the state of New Jersey, for example, there may be grant money available if you're a minority owner and if your business is basically involved with, let's say, helping people in your geography or providing jobs or perhaps providing some social service. Those conditions make it easier to apply to receive some grant funds. And then the last is for the other category, which is, you know, you may be able to get financing from a vendor. So if somebody's providing a business with a significant amount of material and the vendor may say, well, I'm prepared to lend this business some money because that gives me the ability, if this business is successful, to continue to sell product, which is what my business objective is, and to make a profit on that. You know, we have funding or Kickstarter where you solicit funds from numerous people through internet finance. And generally, that's in effect the pre-sale of your product. So in the t-shirt business, you have a Kickstarter campaign, raise money, and those people invest in your business and perhaps get a piece of the business, but also they're putting in orders for your product as well. So when you material ready to go, you have an obligation to ship those products to those participants. Maybe the seller of the business would provide some financing. So if the price is $10, maybe the seller will take $7 in cash and maybe give you a loan for $1. And if you're in a corporate or a corporate function is a basis for your company, then you certainly have the ability to sell stock or shares or a percentage in your business. And that may be if you bring a partner in, you may do that on the basis of an equity transaction where that person would end up with a percentage of your business.
When it comes to obtaining capital for the business, there is something called the six C's of credit. What are they and how are they used?
Yes. Banks in particular, generally any lender or anybody who's going to provide you with some financing is going to look to these six
C's of credit. The first is character.
Really addresses the owner, the owners. Are they credible? Are they honest? Are they believable? You know, are they free from a criminal or a shady background, so to speak? Can we trust them as an investor or a lender? Can I trust them? The second C is capacity. Does the business have the capability to repay its loan so that the lender will get their loan repayments on a timely basis, or the investor who may has an equity position in the business will see as a, you know, an exit strategy, which is at the end of 10 years, we're going to sell this business for 3 times its value. And as an investor, I would receive theoretically 3 times my initial investment. Capital is what assets do you have as an individual or does my business have that provides for this loan or for this equity instrument? That's very much connected to the next C, which is collateral. And that is, does the business have inventory or receivables or machinery or automobiles, trucks that provide potential cash flow if the business gets in some sort of problem in meeting the loan repayment schedule. That collateral is not only assets of the business, but also could be assets ownership. You know, does the owner have a house or a vacation or, you know, a personal vehicle or artwork perhaps that is worth, has cash value that the bank might rely on to make sure that they get their money. The next one is conditions. It refers very much to the circumstances and the items in a loan agreement. make sure that the bank or the lender is satisfied with those conditions, that there are not some things that the borrower wants to include for purposes of protection that maybe the bank or lender is not agreeable to. And on the other side, the borrower needs to understand the conditions that the lender may be putting on them. And the final is cash flow. And that's cash flow is, of course, important in any business circumstance. But this is the cash flows and the cash flow of the business. What are the sources and use of cash? Are they reasonable? This would be a case, perhaps, where maybe the owner has decided to take a significant compensation in terms of salary, which influences the cash flow of the business and would be something that the lender would be concerned about. So anything that impinges on that cash flow, lenders are going to be concerned about it. And as a borrower, you need to make sure that that cash flow is not only available, but protected with respect to the position of the lender.
A business, medium or large, has the same components. And there are administration, there's accounting, there's human resources, there's marketing and public relations, there's a web presence, there's sales, customer service, order fulfillment, information technology, physical plant, all of these things. Most of this stuff, when it's a small business, you know, falls under a couple of people. But one of the things that I found when I own my own small consulting practice, that the hardest part of the business was doing the administrative tasks. Tell the listeners why these tasks are so important and what they encompass.
Yeah, of course. There's a ton of them. I mean, there's an incredible number of individual things that we do every day, whether we're individuals or business owners. And in many cases, they could be categorized as administrative, from communication. So you have to make sure that you're communicating with your customers. That's the most important thing in this area, but also other people in the business and other outside relationships. Are you responsive to customer calls or emails or texts, questions that they may have? Certainly, if they want to place orders, the business needs to have that capability and make it easy as easy as possible for the customer. Those are kind of administrative tasks at a little bit higher level. Got to make sure that your office or your business is running reasonably, that there's no miscommunications, that departments know what they're supposed to do, how they interface with others. Calendar is sometimes very important. You mechanized, you can have a company calendar on your computer system, but making sure that everybody who needs to have things scheduled or appointments or customer visits, that all that is clear to all the participants so that they're available. If you have a larger company, depending upon the kind of business, there may be travel involved in the business, and all of those arrangements handling is better done on a centralized form. Perhaps maybe it's expensive, and that usually falls into the administrative area. Others too that are important are if you have a database that you maintain for your business, and you have data information that's entered, not only for accounting purposes, but also for sales analysis or for information about employees or customers. You want to have the ability to enter that information and retain it, number one. And then have the ability to get some value out of that. So whether that be a spreadsheet that you can bring up and take a look at, or it's a database analysis system, customer service oriented, whatever it might be. It could be yellow paper that somebody keeps fishing on. It's kind of an antiquated methodology, but it still could work. Having that information recorded, having the ability to go back to it, to refer to it and use it again, especially if there's some question or issue with that customer transaction as you go forward. All of the bookkeeping and account activity is administrative. The recording of the transactions, but also generating invoices to customers, making sure that money's collected, making sure that your invoices are processed properly and paid on time, recording payroll information, and then making sure that your employees are properly paid when they should be paid as per your agreement. That could be weekly, biweekly, monthly, but whatever that arrangement is, you have to make sure that that's taken care of. Somebody needs to maintain company's web presence, make sure that it's up to date, Perhaps you have a blog or information there that gets updated, or more articles are put in there, or you have news releases that you want to keep there. And somebody needs to take charge of that, whether they do that on their own or whether they're responsible to interface and manage that activity through an outside supplier who handles your web page and website for you. Health, safety, in our current environment, administrative activity connected to employees and their health situation, making sure that your facility is safe and meets mostly federal standards. And we certainly know a significant amount of issues surrounding employment and perhaps discrimination. And we want to make sure that we have somebody who is involved in that process and stays up to date with whatever the regulations are, and also make sure that the company has procedures and policies that match whatever those regulations might be. It's certainly a particular area of significant risk, and all of that would fall into the administrative category.
According to the business statistics and the SBA, there's a 20% of all new businesses fail within the first year. Within 5 years, almost 50% have failed. And by year 10, only 30% of those businesses still exist. Can you explain to the listeners a little bit of why some of, or what are some of the reasons that businesses fail?
Yeah, the sometimes go into a business without adequate knowledge and experience, or there's a lack of planning. Importance of the business plan needs to be mentioned here again. It might be in the wrong location. We talked about availability in the market. Have you positioned your business where there are enough people interested in buying your product or service? Or maybe you haven't understood completely the scope of your competition. It could be financially driven, and as you don't have enough capital, or maybe your business is seasonal. That's particularly difficult to manage from a cash flow standpoint. You might have poor credit arrangements, or maybe with your customers, or maybe even with your suppliers. And the last thing here, which is interesting, is uncontrolled growth. So, you know, the good news is your business is growing. The bad news is your business is growing too quickly, and you can't keep up with the cash demands of that increased activity. From an operating standpoint, you may have management issues, maybe management turnover. Maybe you're not managing your assets properly. Perhaps there's a problem in spending too much money on expenses within the business, or even the company is allowing the ownership to spend too much money where they're drawing more money out of the business than they should. I mean, it's their business. They have the right to do whatever they want. But from a continuity of the business, that may put it at risk. Not having good records is also not only financial records, but also where we have information about customer activity, issues surrounding quality. If we don't have a good handle on that, then it's for us to take corrective action or to deal with problems, you know, as they come up.
Now that you've told us why businesses fail, how about telling us why they succeed?
Cash. How the cash flow of the business is king. You have, your business can, on the surface, look like it's very successful. But if at the end of the day, you're short cash, you've lost money, you know, that's become the ultimate issue. So it might be because you don't really have a good idea of the mission of the business. So what is the business they're in? Stay focused. You don't know what your objectives are, your goals. You have to always keep the customer as number one. Your business is based upon how customers react and how they buy. What they buy, when they buy, that's the first order of business. If you don't have satisfied customers, you won't have a successful business. Going right along with that is if you have customers as a focus, then sales activity should be very important activity area of your business. Got to keep, always be selling, ABC. Always be closing. Sorry, I got that wrong. Always be closing. If you don't have some competitive advantage, or you need competitive advantage to be able to make sure that you have a little bit of an edge, maybe you got better quality, excellent quality is always good. Ability to locate customers and find your place in the market also may provide some competitive advantage to you, and that speaks well to the success of a business. You have to have good employees. People who work need to be of good quality. They're representing your company. That's important. They're also providing the work that generates the products that you're going to sell or the services that you're providing in the marketplace. So employees are always important. Stay abreast of happening in your industry, in your business. As things change, and they change every day, things are changing. You have to be prepared to respond to the changes. And even better, really successful companies can anticipate trends. You get a view of not only what's happening today, but what's going to happen 5 years from now, and start to think about that. That's always a sign. Successful companies can do that pretty well. Having good marketing and business plan, and when the business is operating, using that business plan as a living document, update it frequently, make sure that that business plan matches your current business, and the financial information that's either in the plan or available, put into the plan, is current and you're focused on whatever that financial information is telling you as to how your business is operating, and you're reactive to that. Or I have a tendency sometimes to sit down at my desk and say, okay, I'll knock off these two things. I'm doing those two things because they're easy to do. I'm going to get them off the list. What I really should do is first and most focus on my list of things to do that is the most important for my business, and make sure that I always do that. I don't want to waste time and energy and effort on stuff that isn't moving my business forward. And entrepreneurs that are successful have that ability. They seem to be able to drill down and better decide what they should do next, or how they should focus their efforts, or how they should spend their time and perhaps even their money.
Oh, that's great.
Always a good thing for a successful business person.
You've given the listeners a really great amount of information that they can think about starting their own business. It's detailed enough that I'm pretty sure that they got a perfect plan now on how to go about starting their own business. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I appreciate all the effort that you put in to do with it. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Starting a small business takes time, effort, and perseverance. But if you're willing to put in the work, it can be a great way to achieve your dreams and goals. Be sure to do your research, create a solid business plan, and pivot along the way. Once you're operational, don't forget to stay focused and organized so you can continue to grow your business. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you would like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, Score provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars or in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/SoutheastNJ. That's score.org/SoutheastNJ and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about them and how to register. That's all the time I have today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with Score, Score is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/SoutheastNJ. That's score.org/SoutheastNJ. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. Score Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.